explain that to me later. I missed the joke. Oh. All right, stand as we read today's text. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1. Now we know that if our earthly tent that we live in is dismantled, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. So while we are in this tent, we groan under the burdens, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but clothed, so that our mortality may be swallowed up by life. And God has prepared for us this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident then and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we aspire to please Him, whether we are here in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of this word, but help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives, to be doers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you noticed that each of these sermons have built on each other? It's so important that if you really want to understand what we're talking about today, it's important that you understand what we have been building on. We started in Genesis chapter 3, where we talked about Adam and Eve, how Eve was deceived by what she saw. She saw that it was pleasing to the eye, and she being tempted by what she saw, gave in and did something that was forbidden. And then we went on from there and talked about Isaiah, where Isaiah saw the Lord, that he saw God as he is, and it led him to see that he needed something. He was damaged. He was unclean, and he needed something. Seeing God as he is changes us. And then we went on from there, and we talked about Jesus' temptation in the desert, where it was the lust of the eyes, and it's an affliction all of us humans have. It's being tempted by what we see to wanting that, even though it's not something we need, something that's good for us, or it's something that's going to damage others. We all struggle with this lust of the eyes, of seeing things. We talked about the problem with my children when they were little. They were always trying to fill their eyes and not their bellies when it came to food, where they would just pile on the food onto their plates because it looked good, even though it was way more than they needed. It would be unhealthy for them to eat all of this. And we all struggle with that from when we were younger to now, of being tempted by things that we see, even though it's things that aren't good for us. And how Jesus was tempted in that way by looking down upon the nations, and that he could worship Satan and be given the kingdoms of the world without having to go to the cross. And so, again, he resisted and was victorious because he quoted Scripture and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only," and he was victorious. And then we have continued to build on this to where we get to where we are today, of walking by faith and not by sight. Sight walking is the title of this message. Let's look at the details of this passage. It starts out with verse 1. Paul uses the analogy of housing to illustrate our life here on this earth compared to our future life in heaven. The housing analogy from verse 1. Now, we know that if this earthly tent we live in is dismantled, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. The analogy to understand your life now is like we're living in a tent. You and I are living in a tent. Tents were big in the Bible. So many of the peoples in the Bible were nomadic, where they would travel around from place to place to place. Many of them were shepherds, and they lived in the fields in the summer, and they would have these tents that they would live in, and they would move them around as they moved their sheep around, and they would live in these tents, temporary shelters that were portable, that were movable. We know that tent making was important in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of our New Testament, was a tent maker. He would use materials made usually from goat's hair, made into yarn, made into material, to make these heavy shelters for people back then, that they would live in them either temporarily, or some of them were poor, where they lived in tents. That's just the way they lived. And so tents were important. But the analogy is that your human body is like living in a tent. It's temporary, and it's portable, and it's not meant to be permanent. Amen? That's you and I. In our flesh, we are not given long to live here. It's temporary. You know, the average for men and women is in the 70s for your average lifespan. Those of you that are past the 70s, you're living in extra time that most people don't get. Most people, most of us get in the 70s. Some people get even fewer. Some babies die in the womb. Some children die young. Some young men, women die in their teens. We don't know when we're going to die. It's temporary. It's something that's really hit me recently, is to realize that statistically speaking, I'm in the last third of my life right now. I'm in my 50s, mid-50s, and in the 70s is my average lifespan that I'm going to live. I may not live any past between now and then. I don't know when, but sometime in this last third of my life, I am going to die. It was hard for me when I was a young youth to grasp this, because if you're young, the temptation for you is to think, I'm going to live forever. And I was foolish in my youth. I did things that I pay for now. I used to think it was cool to punch walls just to show how tough I was. Doesn't that sound dumb now? And as I hold pencils and the arthritis in my fingers, I think, oh, that was dumb. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Why? Because I didn't realize that I had a lifespan that was temporary. I thought my body would live forever. And I pay the price now with my hips and my knees, from my playing football in high school to wrestling and some of the stuff I did. I'm paying the price now. It's a tent. Your body is temporary. And the average lifespan is in the 70s. Where are you? How many more years do you have? None of us know. But we know what's going to happen. Your body is going to die. Amen? For it is destined for all of us to die once. All of us will die. And so he uses this analogy. And the opposite of this tent that we're living in is that those have been bought by Jesus Christ, that have received the salvation in him, you have a permanent dwelling in heaven that will not die. So you've got this body that lasts 70 so years at the most, 70, 80, 90, no more than usually in the 120s for the max. I think the record is like 130 something. that any human in our day and age has lived, you have an expiration date. But if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a covenant with the God who made your body to receive a second one. And it's a house in heaven, a permanent brick and mortar building compared to your temporary tent that you live in now. And so that's the analogy that Paul is working with. In a nutshell, there is a vulnerability to living here on earth. Look at this. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. So while we are in this tent, we groan under our burdens. There is a vulnerability to living here on earth. And the vulnerabilities, you know what they are. You get sick. You get tired. You need rest. You need food. You need sustenance. You need to keep your strength up. Because in this life, there is a vulnerability to you. You are not indestructible. And again, I learned this the hard way. I can't do the things I used to be able to do. When I was younger, I thought I would live forever. I thought I would be strong forever. I thought I would continue to get stronger as I went through the teen years. Every year I got stronger and I grew. And I was thinking, someday I'm going to be 6'5" and play in the NBA. I peaked out my freshman year in high school at 5'7". It's vulnerable. The growth that you experience as young, it peaks, it stops. And then in your middle age, you start going backwards. I lost my hair. I never thought I'd lose my hair. I had such beautiful, long, blonde hair when I was young. Parted in the middle. Can you believe that? There's a vulnerability. There's weakness. We are going to die. We are vulnerable here. The proof that we have a permanent place in heaven is the Holy Spirit given to us as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Verse 5, and God has prepared us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life working, you are not saved. You do not have a contract with God to get a permanent place in heaven. There is a lie going around that so many people have embraced that says God loves all of us and we all get this guarantee of a permanent place when we die. It's not true. It's a lie that seduces people into thinking that, oh, I can continue to live my life as I want right here, right now, and there's no end coming because God can't send anyone to hell. And it's a lie. There is an expiration for this human body, and God will not give you a new one unless you've received His Son. See, the Son of God came into time, matter, and space to reveal who God is to mankind. And if we reject that, we don't have hope. There's nothing more. God is not going to, in your sinful nature, give you an eternal house in heaven so that for the rest of eternity, you torture yourself and you torture others by your sinful behavior. He won't do that. But Pastor, what about those people that have not heard? See, we've talked about that. God has provided for all humanity two truths. His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen from creation. In other words, there is a God and He's not me. Every single person on the planet gets those two things. And if they receive them, they get more truth. If they reject them, they go in backwards. Every human gets that. No one is going to have an excuse coming before God and say, I just didn't understand it. Therefore, you've got to give me this permanent place in heaven because I didn't understand it. God will say, I made it clear to you from creation. You were able to look up at the sky. You were able to look at the complexity of creation and know that there is a God and it's not you. And then if you receive that, I'll give you more. And the ultimate truth is the Son of God. And that's that saving relationship. No one is going to have an excuse when they appear before God when your tent expires. When your tent that you're living in expires, when it breaks down and you die, you're not getting an eternal house in heaven if you rejected the truth that God gave you, no matter whether you've heard of the name of Jesus Christ or not. No one is going to have an excuse because he gives everybody those two truths. And if you respond to him, he promises to give you more. And the ultimate is Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate in revelation of who God is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, a couple of texts about the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. Now, it is God who established both us and you in Jesus Christ. He, God, anointed us, placed his seal on us, and put his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge of what is to come. If you've received Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit in your life. Next, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And in him, Jesus Christ, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of his glory. Pastor, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. Come and talk to me. I can give you the assurance before you leave this building that you have the Holy Spirit and that you are saved. I can give that to you. Oh, but Pastor, I don't need the Holy Spirit because I was raised in church. I'm sorry, but that's not enough. That's not enough. You've got to come to Jesus Christ and give your life to him and say, Lord, I can't save myself. You've got to be humble and admit that you're a sinner and that you can't do it on your own. Whether you were raised in a good family or a bad family, all of us are in the same boat. We need a Savior. Whether you were raised in the church or out of the church, we're all in the same boat because we're all given those two truths. There is a God, and it's not me. And when you respond to that, you end up coming to Jesus Christ, getting revealed the path of salvation through the blood of the Lamb of God, and you come to him and you're saved, and you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you regarding sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit will tell you that you are not God, and that there is a God. And he's revealed through Jesus Christ, and you will put him on the throne of your life. If you're not putting him on the throne of your life, there's a problem there. Amen? It's the gospel. And none of us that, all of us that are listening to this, you're going to be held accountable on Judgment Day for whether you've responded to the gospel or not. Even if you're a good person, it's not enough. You need Jesus Christ. We are living in a place where we are separated from God. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So while you're living in this tent, there is a separation from you and God that's taken place. We are away from him. What does that mean? That means that because of living in this world in a sinful, depraved world, there is a separation of between you and God, that when you die and you get your permanent place in heaven, your new body, and you are face to face with God, you are able to get so much closer than you can in this world, because your tent has got to be set aside and you've got to get the new body, which is the building from God, that you can see him face to face. There's a separation. I get in trouble a lot because of this. See, my philosophy of humanity is this. There's two types of human. Those that are saved and those that are family of God. I mean, that are separated from God. Those that are family and those that aren't. That's the two types of humans. You're either saved or you're not. Period. And it's so important. I can't express this enough. It's so important to understand that if you're saved and you're still in this temporary shelter, this tent, there is a separation from you and God that will change for the better. If you've rejected Jesus Christ and saying, I'm good enough and I'm young enough, I'm going to live forever, I don't need God, then this is the best you're ever going to get. When your tent dies, you don't get a new one. You don't get a new one. It's over for you. You are separated from God eternally. In other words, there is hell for those that have rejected the Son of God. For those that have received Jesus Christ, we are in our hell. This is as bad as it gets. This is our separation from God. It gets better. Those that don't have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it gets worse. Oh, Pastor, it can't get any worse. Yes, it can. And it will. The offer for salvation is given to you while you're living, period. There's no second chances. It's now or it's never. We must choose to live our life here, motivated by the fact that someday we will be with God, and what we do here matters. What you do here now matters. We are in this time of choice and change. When you die, it's over. Either separated eternally from God or face to face with God. So what can we learn from this? We must not make living here longer our number one priority. Making living here your number one priority shows to me and shows through because of God's word that you have not received the Son of God. Because you're living for this tent. This tent is temporary. It will die. It can't be our number one priority. Too many Christians, they pour in so much money trying to live a day longer. There's something wrong there. You're missing that this is your hell. This is not your heaven. This is not your permanent place of dwelling. This is the place of testing, the place of trial, the place of suffering. It's not meant to be permanent. The trillions of dollars that Americans have spent trying to prolong death one more day shows that there's a lack of faith in our country. A lack of faith that there is an eternal house in heaven waiting for us. This isn't all there is. There is something better. That doesn't mean that I'm promoting suicide. No, God's in charge of when you go. But making living another day here your top priority shows that you're not understanding what salvation is all about. That there's an eternal house in heaven. There's paradise. There's heaven waiting for you. And it gets better. We must realize that stability apart from the promises of God is a myth. Stability. I'm in charge, Pastor. Are you really? Are you really in charge? Can you guarantee me that there's not cancer cells growing in your body right now? Can you tell me that there's not? Because I think most scientists would say we all have cancer cells in our body. It just, whether our body's strong enough to fight them off or not. Whether they grow or they don't grow, you don't have any control over that. Just like I didn't have any control over my hair falling out. Otherwise, I'd still have my long blonde hair parted in the middle. You're not in control now. If you are, tell me, how do you keep the moon from spinning out of orbit? Because if it moves just a few feet, we all die. How do you keep the sun from burning every day? What if the sun just stops? We all die. What if one of the major planets in our solar system burns out and explodes? We all die. Tell me, how do you keep those things from happening? You can't. You are not in charge. You're not in control. Control's a myth. Oh, I'm going to stay young forever. Really? You can imagine that, but it's not true. Control, stability is a myth apart from the promises of God. Next, we all must surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit telling you something today? Not is Pastor Ken telling you something. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? Bite your pride and listen to Him. Bite your pride. Set it aside. Say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Some of you have not received Jesus Christ. Don't let today pass without receiving Him. Make today the day when you get the Holy Spirit and are assured that you have this eternal house in heaven, because not everybody gets that. If you rejected God, you're not getting that. Your tent is the best you're going to get. But we who have received Jesus have an eternal house in heaven. Next, living our life here for an audience of one is what it means to walk by faith. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by sight is what everybody does. Everybody judges the things in this world by the lust of their eyes, by their sight, by their perception, by their knowledge of good and evil. We all have that cross to bear. People who have received Jesus Christ, they walk by faith because they know it gets better. Therefore, the decisions they make now are in perspective that this is temporary and it's not meant to be permanent. Amen? You don't invest all your life into your getting one more day here on earth because you have it in perspective that this earth is temporary. The Bible says that everything in creation is going to be rolled up like a scroll and set on fire and burned. Everything you can see, feel, and touch has an expiration date, which includes your body, the planet we're on, the universe we live in. But those of us that have a covenant with the living God, it gets better. Amen? Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray that if there's anyone in this room that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will do so before the day is over. Those that have been raised as good people will bite their pride and admit that they don't have the Holy Spirit in their life, that they're living by sight and not by faith. Help them, Lord. Help us that have received Jesus Christ to live like it. Help me, God, to live my life to be a reflection of you and not of me. I am temporary and I am flawed. I am sinful. I'm not perfect. But you are. Help me to live by faith in this body, knowing that there's an eternal house in heaven waiting for me. And everything here is expendable because it's temporary. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.